chapter 23, page 68, Luke chapter 23, verses 39 through 43. And I told you that when Jesus was crucified, two more criminals also were crucified, one on the left and one on the right, and this is continuation. One of the criminals, verse 39, who were hanged there, kept deriding him, meaning Jesus, and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." So just keep it open, because you may need it as I go on verse by verse. Imagine this, you're looking at the cross, three crosses on the hill of Calvary, up there on the cross and down, and there at the foot of the cross, you see Satan's last-ditch effort to thwart God's salvation plan was at work in full force. When I say full force, he was speaking through the people and the rulers and the soldiers and even one of the criminals hanging on the cross. Now, through their mouth, Satan cried out to Jesus over and over again, like this, "Save yourself, come down from the cross." Now, no one but Jesus truly understood what was happening in the spiritual realm. You see, we mostly see the physical realm, but there's another area we call spiritual realm. What was happening in the spiritual realm? Atonement was taking place. Atonement means that someone paying the price, wages of your sin. That's atonement. And redemption was being completed. Redemption means that Jesus was buying you back through the price that he was paying through his own death. Now, two criminals, one of them blew up his last chance to be in heaven by falling into Satan's temptation and scheme and following his selfish desire to escape from his punishment. The other criminal, however, received salvation through humble confession. Now, this morning I invite you to think with me about Jesus' third word on the cross. He says, "Truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise." You shall be with me in the presence of God forever. Think of that words. Isn't that what we want to hear? Such sweet words of assurance from the Lord himself. "You shall be with me in paradise." Yes, I love to hear that. I hope you do too. So I'm going to just walk you through one more time, verse by verse. That's why I'll ask you to keep your Bible open. Please follow along in your Bible. Verse 39, the criminal deriding or hurling abuse at Jesus. But they came from the Greek word blasphemy. You heard of the expression blaspheme. The literal translation would be the criminal blasphemed Jesus. The meaning of to blaspheme is to, I quote, "speak against God, slander, or insult." Now, this verb was never, neither in the Old Testament and New Testament, never used for human beings. You cannot say that, "Oh, so-and-so blasphemed so-and-so." No. This word, to blaspheme, only used for God and his name. You could say that someone blasphemed God, that's correct. You can say someone blasphemed the name of God, that is correct, in the Bible. But that's it. So when the Bible says that this criminal blasphemed Jesus, he was actually blasphemed God by saying the following words out loud. Verse 39, you hear and you read, "Are you not the Christ?" That's what he said to Jesus. The more accurate translation would be, you are the Christ, aren't you? By saying so, the criminal acknowledges affirmatively that Jesus indeed is the Messiah for all. Oh, by the way, Christ and Messiah are the same thing. Messiah is the Hebrew word and, you know, Christ is the Greek word, same. However, I noticed right here, right away in his attitude, that the criminal was rather testing Jesus, putting him to the test and demanding and rude. I wonder whether the criminal was genuinely interested in a relationship with the Messiah by saying, you are the Christ, aren't you? Or just wanted to escape troubles by any means possible, even using God blatantly for his personal gain, whatever it may be. It's like this, God, you are Almighty God, aren't you? You can do anything, right? So do this for me right now, that kind of attitude. Now, such an attitude and language, the Bible says, are a blasphemy to God. Remember, blasphemy is rooted in the absence of the fear of God, lack of the fear of God. And here's an example. You know, if you remember 10 commandments, the third commandment says that you shall not take the name of the Lord in vain. How many of you remember the third commandment? You do. Good education. Which church you went to? That's a good one. You shall not take the name of the Lord in vain. But did you know, if you do, you're blaspheming God? Now, I'm a pastor. You know, once in a while I talk with people who go to church, Christians, and whatever they were upset with, and this word comes out, and slip up, they say, the name Jesus. You've seen them. You've heard them. It saddens my heart. I beg you, I beseech you with all, you know, mercies of God, do not use the name of the Lord in vain. Why? If you do, you're blaspheming God. You're insulting God. That's what it is. If you have to use the words for expletives, use something else. I have a good one. It's from Little Women, I think. Christopher Columbus. How many of you remember that one? Do not use the name of the Lord in vain. If you do, you're insulting and blaspheming God. By the way, the criminal's request here, which was, save you and us from the cross, was never granted, was it? What's the lessons here? Couple. First one is that prayers offered in disrespect or even testing God will not be answered, will not be heard by God. The second lesson is this, those who come to Jesus with an ulterior motive will not be saved either. You know, I've seen some individuals saying that, you know, I love my life. You know, there are so many things for me to enjoy and I don't need God. Okay? I'm going to enjoy my life and this is what I'll do. But I still need heaven. So 5 minutes before I die on my deathbed, I'll accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. Hey, you know, He will accept me, right? Now, let me tell you this. It's not going to work that way. Why? Because your motive to accept Jesus Christ 5 minutes before you die is not going to go well with God. You cannot fool God, right? Now, if you look at verse 39, the criminal, same criminal, after he says, are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. As a matter of fact, if you listen carefully, on the hill of Calvary that day, the same sentence, save yourself, rang all day long. People said it, so did the rulers, so did the soldiers, and so did the criminal. They all shouted, if you are the Christ, save yourself, show yourself, and prove yourself by coming down from the cross, then we will believe. Remember, that was Satan's cunning scheme to thwart God's salvation plan. What was God's salvation plan? Which was for Jesus to die on the cross to save others through his own death. You see, Jesus was at the finish line, and his mission was about to be finished and completed, culminating at his death. The devil assailed him to derail God's redemption plan for humanity by shouting out, come down, don't die. I bet the temptation for Jesus to prove himself by coming down from the cross must have been very, very strong. Had he succumbed to that certain temptation, and God's salvation plan would have surely failed. Jesus knew better. So the first criminal was done, and if you look at verse 40, the other criminal coming in. He answered to the first one, rebuking him, saying, "Do you not even fear God?" Once again, the translation would be, "You sure fear God, don't you?" Now, this criminal was humble, and he was demonstrating the attitude toward God that is acceptable and pleasing to God, which is, in one word, reverence. Holy reverence of God in words and actions pave our paths to the Lord. You want to go to the Lord? First of all, check yourself. Am I showing my holy reverence? And the criminal continues. He says, "We indeed are suffering justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." Now think of this, the criminal. This man understood who he was first. He says, "I'm the sinner who deserved to die on the cross for my deeds." He also understood who Jesus was. He says, "Jesus has done nothing wrong, the sinless." Inadvertently, he summed up the core of the gospel there. What's the core of the gospel? The wages of sin is death, and it is to be paid through the sinner's own death. However, the sinless Savior takes over your sin and pays the wages on your behalf so that you may go free. That's the core of the gospel. Listen to Romans 6:23, which says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ, Jesus our Lord." Free gift you receive. And after that, in verse 42, he said to Jesus, "Jesus, remember me." You know, if you ask me, "Pastor Choi, do you pray?" I said, "Yes, I do." And were there times that you feel like you have no words to say? Just don't know what to say? Yes, I do have moments like that. And what do you say in those moments? I say one sentence. "Jesus, remember me. Have mercy on me." In my humble opinion, it works every single time. If you have no words to say in your prayer, say this: "Jesus, remember me. Have mercy on me." That prayer always works. And after he said that, he said to Jesus, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." You have to remember, this man is about to die, bleeding to death. And it says, "When you come into your kingdom." This guy believed in the eternal life and in God's kingdom to come. Some people don't. When they die, nothing. Really? But do you believe? The most important part, the most beautiful part of today's text, in verse 43, Jesus says to the man, "Truly I tell you, today with me you will be in paradise." What is paradise? Paradise is the place for our spirits to go after our physical death. But let me remind you, based upon today's text, not everyone goes to the paradise. You know, we are living in the pluralistic and tolerant society. Every religion is the same, they say. Really? Have you ever studied all the religions, major religions in the world, in terms of heaven and hell? For example, Hinduism, they say there is no hell. No hell. Really? Of course, if you think of reincarnation, you keep recycling, recycling, recycling. Did you know that Buddhism, as tolerant as it is, has hell? How many of you knew that? See, that's how much we are not studying. And we're simply saying that every religion is the same. Not really. Buddhism has hell? Yeah, they have 7 different levels of hell. On the third and fourth one, they say, this place is reserved for those folks who rejected the Buddhist teaching. Wait a minute. I thought Buddhists welcome everybody. That's how much we are ignorant of other religions, folks. So when it comes down to Christianity, when we says that not everyone goes to heaven, we say, oh, you're so intolerant. Really? Now, all I'm saying, based upon today's text, this guy, the first criminal, didn't get in paradise. If you think he did, read again. Now, the second criminal, however, by acknowledging Jesus as his Savior, was received into eternal life. What a difference, what an eternal difference he made. All the sins of his were wiped and washed away with one single confession in Jesus the Messiah. And that's how powerful and simple the gospel message is. Here's a lesson from the second criminal. I would call triple A, for you too easy to remember. Triple A. A first A stands for admit. Admit that you are a sinner. Second A stands for acknowledge. Acknowledge that you need the Savior who is sinless and who can wash away your sins. And the third A stands for ask. Ask humbly the Lord to remember you, and He does and He will. That's it, folks. Admit and acknowledge and ask. So simple, isn't it? For your salvation, God requires nothing of you but faith in Christ. All human qualifications such as status, degrees, wealth, beauty, and even your own good deeds, good works, have no place in salvation. Faith is the only necessary condition for salvation. All you need to do is to believe in Jesus. And that's why I believe that even the most and worst criminal still has a chance to take up the offer of a salvation. How many of you remember the name Ted Bundy? He was executed in an electric chair. I think it was 1991 or 92, almost 25 years ago, in the Florida station, you know, state penitentiary in Florida. I remember listening to the Focus on the Family at the time that Dr. James Dobson, he flew down to Florida to have the last interview with Ted Bundy for about 40 minutes. It was granted the day before he was executed. And I cannot remember all the details. However, I do remember Dr. Dobson asked him, so what do you think of what you've done? Because this Ted Bundy, serial killer, was responsible for over 20 plus women's lives. He killed them all. So Dobson asked, what do you say to the families of these victims? And Ted Bundy, he couldn't say a word. So remorseful that he just says, Dr. Dobson, I really cannot say anything about it. I'm sorry, but my words not enough. Of course, I felt, yeah, you know, how could you say anything? I was listening to this interview. But after that, Dobson asked, do you accept Jesus Christ? Did you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior? And Bundy said, yes, I did. Now, most of the people, when they hear that, oh, how convenient it is now, right? You want to go to heaven after killing so many women now, so you accept Jesus Christ. There is some kind of justice in our hearts, right? But before we get to that, let's lay aside the judgment call, whether he's going to be in heaven or not, leave it to God. But what I was touched that day, listening to him, was this. Even the worst criminal you could ever imagine has a chance to accept the salvation. And you cannot deny that. It always helps me whenever you think that, oh, this criminal should go to hell, right? I always put myself in his shoes or her shoes. If you, myself, rather I welcome that, oh, opportunity to accept Christ, yeah, of course. If you are a son in that shoes, would you rather have welcomed that opportunity for your son? Of course you are. It's a wonderful story in the Bible. The worst criminal has a chance to take up the offer of salvation. And the last one I'm going to think about is paradise. What is paradise? Paradise is the place where Jesus is, as he says. No more sin, no more pain, no more tears, and no more suffering, and no more death. Now listen to Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 4. Description of heaven. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them. And they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there will no longer be any death, there will no longer be any mourning, or crying, or pain. The first things have passed away. That's paradise, folks. That's heaven. As for closing, I would say this. That day on the hill of the skull, Calvary, Satan tried to make sure that Jesus' death on the cross would never happen. He failed. Jesus completed his mission on earth by giving his life as a ransom for many. His mission was to save the sinners like you and me by paying off the wages of our sin through his own death. In God's salvation plan, did you know, sin must be dealt. There are always the consequences of sin. And one party has to pay. Christ chose to die on our behalf so that we may go free. The innocent for the guilty and the sinless for the sinful. As a wrap-up, I would remind you, AAA, admit that you are a sinner and acknowledge Jesus the sinless as your Savior who would wash away your sins. And third, ask him to remember you in his kingdom, and then he will. Believe in the name of Jesus sincerely and humbly and in the fear of God, then you are in. Would you like to hear one more time his promise to us? He says, you will be with me in paradise. I claim that promise. I hope everyone does. Let's bow our heads and pray. You speak to us, Lord, this morning through the story of this criminal and through the words that Jesus gave to him. The worst criminal. He was paying for his crime. Being on the cross, being crucified in those days was capital punishment. He even knew that he deserved such a violent death for his deeds. But to him, Jesus offered paradise. What happened? Not because of all the things he did, but because of his faith. Humble confession that you are the Christ and I'm the sinner, and remember me, Lord. And Christ says, so be it. You are in paradise. Oh, what a wonderful testimony, wonderful story, wonderful story of the gospel. We take it, Lord, as the criminal did. Have us in paradise with you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.